Today's Shir Masechta Baba Kama Daf Samech Ches. We will begin on Daf Samech Ches Amar Aleph, five lines from the top, Toshma. The Gemara continues to discuss what is the does Yish, if the owners of an object that was stolen were Miyash, gave up hope of getting this item back, will that affect that it should become the property of the Ganef, or actually, Yish is a broader subject. What is the halach? Is Yish koino or not? Toshma, the Torah, as we've been discussing, what is the halach if somebody stole a shor or a seb, a sheep or an ox, a tofchay or machray, and he sold it or slaughtered it? And the Torah, HaKadosh, says, a tofchay or machray, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, matficha, when we speak about the animal was slaughtered, Shena Chazeres. Obviously, slaughtering the animal is irreversible. Af Mechira, when we speak about the Mechira, that the Torah says that if somebody sold the animal that they stole, they would be Chayiv, is referring to situation, Shena Chazeres, which is non-reversible. So ask the Gemara Amos, exactly when did this Mechira take place, did this transaction take place? If we'll say it took place before the owner of the object was Miyash, so the question is, Amayin Chazeres, why can't it be returned back to the owner? As the Gemara is assuming, it wasn't a valid transaction. If it wasn't a valid transaction, it certainly should be reversible. El Alachiyush, it must be that the owners gave up. But if we're going to say that Kanye, that when somebody, that if Yish took place, then it becomes the property of the Ganef. So the question is, am I Mishalom, Arba V'chamisha? Why should this Ganef have to pay Arba V'chamisha? At this point, Shalayhu Taveach, Shalayhu Maicha, whatever he's selling or slaughtering really belongs to him, because the owner were Miyash. So isn't this a raya that Yush ain't a koina? Answers the Gemara, Kira Omer Rav Nachman, Prat Lehish Shikna L'Shloshim Yoyim, that it's speaking about that it wasn't sold permanently. It was sold, he says this, in a brayse that we're going to learn. Tier 2, Hachnami Prat Lehishik L'Shloshim Yoyim, since after 30 days, it's going to go back. So that's why it's not considered a mechira. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Yish is kaina, but even though Yish is kaina, you have to have a valid mechira. And what the Gemara is saying is that since it wasn't sold in such a fashion that it's going to be permanently sold, because we're referring here to a situation where the Ganef could get it. Only sold it for a temporary sale. That's why the halacha is that it's not considered a full-fledged mechira, and that's what the braisa means to say. Ask the Gemara, Meisve, the halacha is that if somebody, we speak about haganef achra haganef, and that's the subject of this braisa. We speak here about a situation where somebody stole something, and then somebody else stole it from him, and then the second person did ficha mechira, ba ganef. So says the braisa, if somebody stole something, ba achav a ganvoy, and now somebody stole it from that individual, so the halach is a rishon misham tashlum kefil. The first person has to pay kefil, as is the halacha by every ganef. Hasheni ainu mishalom el karen bavad, but the second person doesn't pay only karen, and that he gives to the ganef, because the Torah says kitnish al rei kesav kelim lishma v'igunam abeisa ish, and we matzah ganef yishalom shnayim, and the Gemara teaches us mibeisa ish, that the chiv of kefil, the obligation to pay kefil, is only when the object was stolen from the owner, but not from the ganef. Ganef umachar, If somebody stole a shor or a seah, sold it, and then the person who bought it through Yiyush and Shin Rishus, and now somebody came, or Baach of a Gonvoy, and somebody bought it from this somebody stole it from this person who had purchased it. Harishim Sham Tashnui Abav Chamisha. The first kind of has to pay Abav Chamisha, and Hasheni Misham Tashnui Kefil. And the second person pays kefil to the person who was the who purchased it from the ganef. Ganef v'tavach. And now the Braisa teaches us a third halacha. If somebody stole an animal and slaughtered it, or ba'ach of a ganvoy, and then somebody stole it from that person. So the halacha is harisha mishalem, the first ganef who did tvicha mechira, has to pay above a chamisha. Hasheni, and the second person who stole it pays tashlumei kefil on the parts of the animal that were bought. And the halach is he only has to pay keren because it's going to be treated like a goynef menaganef. And all of these cases that we just spoke about will be spoken about quite extensively in the Gemara now. Tani Mia, the Gemara begins by analyzing Mitziyasa, the middle case of the Braisa that we just learned. The Braisa said, Gone of a Machar, if somebody stole something and sold it, or Bach of a Gonvoy, and then somebody stole it from that purchaser, so the Loch is Arish Misham Tashlumei Abav Chamisha. The first kind of has to pay Abav Chamisha, which is the Halacha, which is always the Halacha of somebody who is a ganef and tavach machar, v'asheni, and the second person who stole it from that purchaser, mishal teshlumei kefil, will have to pay him kefil. Analyzes the Gemara, Amos, exactly when did this mechira take place? Ilem lifnei yush, if we'll say that it took place before yush, the question is, my mishal teshlumei kefil, why would he have to pay kefil to the person from whom he purchased it? Shini rishus, if indeed it changed hands, but if there was no yush, mikla mandam dakani, no one in our shiurim has suggested that that would be a valid kinyan. So if it's not a valid kinyan, you shouldn't be chayiv. El pshita, what must be the case? Lachi yish. The person who bought it from the ganef, that purchase is considered a halachically valid transaction because we had here Yush and Shini Rishus. Ask the Gemara, Visakadatach, if we're going to say Yush Koina, if it becomes the Ganefs just through Yush, Amay Mishalim, Teshlumei Abav Chamisha, why would the Ganef pay Teshlumei Abav Chamisha? Once there was Yush, it became the property of the Ganefs. It became the property of the Ganefs the day who Dezovin, he's selling his own. And if he's selling something which belongs to himself, there's no Chiv Dal Chamisha. That's one question. Vesu continues the Gemara asking another question. The Ktani Reisha, if we learn in the Reisha of this Braisa, the Braisa says, Ganef, somebody stole something, or Baach of a Gonvoy, and somebody stole it from him. Risha Misham Teshlumei Kefil, the first Ganef will pay Kefil, Vesheni, and the second Ganef, En Misham El Keren, will only have to pay Keren. But ask the Gemara, if we just explained that this Braisa is speaking about a case where it's Lachi Yush Kaminan, that was speaking that there was Yush, so Isal Kedatach, Yush Koina, if we're going to say that Yush is effective, Hasheni, why, when the second person stole, the second Ganef stole it from the first Ganef, are we saying they only pays Keren, he doesn't pay the Kefil, but now ask the Gemara, Amai, Eina Mishal Mele Keren, why would that Locha be that he should only pay Keren and not the Kefil? He stole it from a proper owner, because it was saying that Yush makes it my property. So yes, this person got it because he was a ganef, but now he became the owner of it. Once he became the owner of it, if somebody steals it from him, he he should have to pay kefil. Elolaf, based on all these questions, we're going to have to say that Yush loikani. So now we have a question on Rav, who's been teaching us throughout our shiurim that Yush is kaina. So Rashi, as we said earlier, learns how do we know that somebody who steals from a ganef doesn't pay kefil? Because the Torah Kedoshah says, the gurav beisa ish, that the loch of kefil only applies if you stole it from the owner, not when you stole it from the ganef. Says the Ktsois, that what's the Torah teaching us? That the act of geneva means taking something away from the owner's rishus. However, stealing something from a ganef's house is not an act of geneva, because what he did was the second ganef took an item which was already not in the rishus of the owner. Says the Ktsois, that means that there's a new halacha that the Torah is teaching us, that if you didn't steal it from the owner's house, the new din that the Torah spoke about, the penalty of kefil, doesn't apply. But is he considered a ganef? So the Tzais wants to suggest that he's not even considered a ganef. Tzais wants to suggest that the halacha, the din, the Torah of leisignoiv, leisigzoil, doesn't apply when you stole something not from a ganef, not from its true owner. And therefore, says the Tzais, if something would happen while it was in the hands of the second ganef, he wouldn't have to replace it. Because the halacha is that if a ganef has something that belongs to somebody else and something happens to it while it's in his possession, he has to replace it. He wouldn't have to do so. Dar Sameach disagrees. And he says that the pasuk of Gunam Beis Ish teaches us that if somebody steals from a ganef, the halacha of kefil, the special halacha of kefil, doesn't apply. But he's certainly considered a ganef. He's took something that he shouldn't taken. And therefore, says the Or Sameach, if something's going to happen to it while it's under his possession, the second ganef would be chayiv. If we learn this braisa that we just discussed, this case, it seems that the Braisa supports the opinion of the Sameach, because the Braisa says that somebody who steals something from a ganef, says the Braisa, is not mechuyev to pay kefil, but he is obligated to pay keren. That means that if something will happen to it, he would have to replace it. That the Rashi has a whole different, but now we have a much more fundamental discussion. So we have here, we're speaking about a case of a goyim and a ganef, and we're saying that the second ganef has to pay keren. The question that we need to understand is, and the braisa doesn't discuss this question this explicitly, what is the halacha, to whom does he pay the keren? So Rashi says that the second ganef doesn't pay keren to the first ganef. Rashi says that the second ganef pays keren to the original owner. To the first ganef. The ganef pays the keren to the ganef. So according to Rashi, that says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, that since the second ganef stole something from the first ganef, it's considered as if he is a ganef. So even though the Torah, as the Or Sameach says that he doesn't have to pay kefil, that's a special halacha that he wouldn't have to pay kefil, but he is considered a ganef and will have to pay the keren like anybody who stole something. And as the Or Sameach said, were something to happen to the stolen item, he would have to pay the value of what he stole. The Rashba quotes Yerushalmi, says that when the second ganef returns, let's say the second guy decides to return the item, and he returns it to the original owner, he says that it's important, interesting Yerushalmi, that he should do so in the presence of the first ganav. Why is it necessary to do so in the presence of the first ganav? Explains the Yerushalmi, because once he returns it to the first ganav, according to the Yerushalmi, it doesn't seem that that's the opinion of the Bavli, the obligation of the first ganav to return it to the owner goes away. So in order that the original owner should not make another claim to the first ganav, he has to make sure that the first ganav is aware that it was returned to the original owner. So what we've learned from this braisa so far is that the braisa seems to teach us that yish lo kani. But ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, the Tisbra, it doesn't make sense to say hamataresdehi, that this braisa is a proper braisa. It should be understood that it's authentic and correct. Hamataresdehi, Elitani Sefer, there's an inherent problem here, says Rava. Because let's continue learning the braisa. The third case of the braisa. The braisa spoke about a case, ganav atavach, if a ganav stole it and slaughtered it, or bach of a ganvoy, and then somebody stole that from him. Rishim sham tishlumei brava chamisha, ve'sheinim shalom enim karen. Ask the Gemara. Here, it wasn't just shini rishus. There was a very significant change. There was a shini maisa. The animal was actually slaughtered. And suggest the Gemara, or mikol amad amar, shini maisa lekana. Everybody agrees that shini maisa makes a kinyan. So if that's the case, the second ganef, after he did the tficha, certainly became the owner of this animal. And since he certainly became the owner of this animal, when somebody stole it from him, why shouldn't he have to pay kefil? Yet the braisa says that you only pay keren. Ella, loylam kula lefnayish. We're going to have to speak about, say that all the cases of the braises are, there was no yish. Vepech sepelim tziyosim tziyosil sefer. And we have to reverse, says the Gemara, the halacha that the braisa says is the rule between what the braisa said in the second case and the third case. And the Gemara explains itself. Ve'mahachi. And this is the way to understand the braisa. Ganav u'machar, if somebody stole this animal and sold it, u'ba'ach of a ganvay, and now somebody stole it from that purchaser. So the halacha is, harish misham tashlumei abav v'chamisha, as is the halacha for any ganav. Hasheni ela, and Mishalim El Karen. The second person who stole it from that purchaser will only have to pay Karen. Why? The Shin Rishus. There was a Shin Rishus. It went from the first Ganef to the person who purchased it from him. But as we just said, the Bryce is referring to a situation below Yiyush, where there was no Yiyush. And the Gemara is saying, in such situation, Loikani, there is no valid kinyan. Now, so, and that's why it belongs still to the original owner. And therefore, there's no v'gunav mibeisa ish that you should pay kefil. Gunav v'tavach. But if you're going to have a situation where somebody stole an animal and slaughtered it, and now, after it was slaughtered, boach v'gandav, somebody stole it from him, then the rishi misham tashlumei baruch hameisha, and the sheni misham tashlumei kefil. Because here, there was a shini maisa. The ganef slaughtered it. That's considered a shini maisa. That's why it became the property of the second ganef. And therefore, since it became the property of the first ganef, when the second ganef steals it from him, he's going to have to pay kefil. And now, if this is the way we're going to learn the braisa, so now the braisa is speaking about lifnei yush. And we don't have a raya to what is the halacha l'achi yush. Rapapa says, loylam lay tepech. There's no need to reverse the halachas in the braisa. Shefa b'shamahi, because the last case of the the Brisa represents the opinion of Beis Shammai, Dama Shina Mekoy Me'emid, that Shina Meisa doesn't make a difference. And therefore, even if the Ganif slaughtered the animal, doesn't make a difference. It's not considered the Ganif's. And therefore, when somebody stole it, that slaughtered animal, it's not considered that he stole it from a owner, he stole it from a Ganif, and that's why Kefil's not paid. Ask the Gemara, but if that's, and we're now back to where we started, that the Braisa is La'achi Yiyush. But if that's the case, then the questions that we asked earlier against Rav resurface. Kasha Reisha Mitzios L'Rav, the Rav says that Yiyush does make it the property of the Ganif, and he was saying it doesn't. Amar Rav Zid, so Rav Zid says we're going to have to interpret the Braisa, the entire Braisa that's talking about Lifnei Yiyush. And therefore, if there was no Yiyush, it doesn't become the property of the Ganif. If it doesn't become the property of the Ganif, if the second Ganif steals it from him, he won't have to pay Kefil, because he didn't steal it Mibeis Ish. And the Sefer, where we said where the Ganif stole it and slaughtered it, and then the second person slaughtered it, stole it from him, the reason he doesn't pay Kefil is because it's following the opinion of Beis Shammai that Shinui Maisa, it doesn't change ownership. And the middle case, which we spoke about, which we said is referring to a situation where the Ganif stole it, sold it, and now somebody stole it from that person who purchased it, that we said that the first Ganif pays above a Chamisha, and the second Ganif pays Kefil. And the question that we asked was that if this Braisa, that if coin to Rav Yush makes it the property of the Ganif, so then why would the first Ganif pay above a Chamisha? Shaloi hu meicher, says the Gemara, b'mai eskinen, we're speaking about a case, shnashash hu abalim, the Balaam did Yush, b'lekeach, v'lenashashu b'ganif. When the Ganif had stolen, there was no Yush yet. So since there was no Yush, it didn't become his. And since it didn't become his, so we don't have, we can't apply the concept Shalohu Teveach, Shalohu Meicher, and that's why he'll pay the above a Chamisha. But now when it was purchased already, the Havla Yush, now it was already Yush. Since there was Yush, the halacha is that's why the second Ganif will have to pay Kefil, because it became the property of this purchaser. If it became the property of this purchaser, so as we keep on repeating, if you steal something from somebody who owns it, you're going to have to pay Kefil. Says the Gemara, V'loi Tema. This that we just said, that the reason he's paying Kefil is because of this unique situation, that the way we said that the second Ganif, what he did took place after Yish, but what the first Ganif did took place before Yish, says the Gemara, it's not because we want to teach Rishum Debe'in and Yish Vishin Rishus, because if we think about this situation, we had here both Yish and Shin Rishus, that the original owner was Miyash, and you also have Shin Rishus, that it went into the property of the second, of the purchaser. Ella fil Yish l'chudei, but suggest the Gemara, the opinion of Rav, that Yish on itself, nami koni gabaganif, will be enough for the Ganif to become the owner of it. Ella, says the Gemara, why didn't the Braisa speak about that? The lemishkachas demshal mitavayu, you won't be able to find a case that they both will have to pay. Ganav Rishon v'Ganav Sheni, that both Ganavim will have to pay, Ella b'hachi. And since the Braisa wants to come up with a scenario that both Ganavim sometimes have to pay Knas, this was the only way the Braisa could come up, and to explain why. Because if there was Yush before the first ganav sold it, then he wouldn't be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Again, remembering that we're learning now that Yish makes it his. If Yish makes it his, shaloy tovech shaloy meicher, and he won't be chayiv arba v'chamisha. And we're looking for a case that the first ganav should pay arba v'chamisha, and the second ganav should pay kefil. So therefore, since we want to be able to come up with such a case, the only way we could come up with such a case is if there was Yiyush not before the first Ganav did the Tficha Mechira, it was only after the Ganav did Tficha Mechira, and that's why the person who purchased it from him, when the second Ganav steals it from him, he's stealing it from its owner, and he'll pay kefil. Says the Gemara, Itmar HaMoichel Lefnei Yiyush. If somebody sells the Shor Seh before the owner of Miyash, Rav Nachman HaMechayiv, Rashesh Samapotar. Rav Nachman HaMechayiv, the Torah says, as we've been discussing, Chignav Ishar Seh, Utafchay Machra Amrachmana, Vazovin. He sold it. Loshna Liyush, Loshna Achiyush. It doesn't make a difference. Even though an argument can be made that why should he be Chayiv? An argument can be made why should he be Chayiv if there was no Yiyush, it did not become the Ganifs. If there was no Yiyush and it didn't become the Ganifs, so why should his Mechira is not effective? But the Torah says that since he did an act of Mechira, even though the Mechira, as we just explained, really is not a halachically valid Mechira, the Torah gives it the din of Tavcha Mechira. Rashesh is on a potter. Rav Sheshes disagrees. He says, Chiyuva lachi yish tafka. He only is going to be chayiv for tafka mechari, mechari, if there was yish. The hanim masav. Because then the sale is considered a valid sale. Because since there was yish, it became the property of the ganav. And since it became the property of the ganav, when he sells it, it's a halachically recognized sale. The aval, Lifnei Yush, if it would take place before Yush, then in those circumstances, Lohana Masav, what he did is not halachically meaningful, L'chayiv. Because, says the Gemara, what makes Rav Sheshes say this? Because Rav Sheshes says that Tvicha and Mechira always travel together. So the Tvicha, shechting is certainly, if you slaughter an animal, what you've done has had meaning. So too, the Mechira has to be the Hanu. It has to be a valid Maisa. Amar Rav Sheshes, Menor Minala, says Rav Sheshes, what is the basis for what I just said? The Tanya. Brisa teaches us. Amar Rav Kiva, Mnei Amar Torah, V'tavach HaMachar. Why was the Torah strict and saying that if the Ganef the Tvicha Mechira, the Mishalim Arba V'chamisha? Says the Gemara, Mnei Shnashtarish Bechet. What he did was, he took it out from, he completely, permanently took it out from the owner's possession. So what does that mean? We understand that if he shechted the animal, not following the opinion of Beis Shammai, so we had here a shinu maisa, and that's why he deserves the serious penalty. But if the mechira, but all he did was mechira, let's analyze. When did this mechira take place? Amos, if we're going to say that it took place before the original owners were Miyash, so ask the Gemara, how could Rabbi Kiva call this Nishtarish? Mika Nishtarish? Nishtarish means that you accomplished something. But if the owners were not Miyash, you didn't accomplish anything. Mika Nishtarish? Would there be any Nishtarish in the situation? Ela Lach Yush. It must be after Yush. And therefore, since it took place after Yush, so what you did is significant. So since what you did is significant, that's why you're Yechayiv Dal Vehei Nishtarish Bechet. But if it was Lufnei Yush, where's the Nishtarish Bechet? Answers Rava, the way to understand it is not because of Nishtarish Bechet, but the fact that to consider is Shana Bechet. This person added insult to injury. Not only did he did Geneva, but he also did a Mechira. So even if one can make an argument that there is no there is no chiyuv for the sale wasn't a halachically valid sale, but Mamneshet Shana Bechet teaches us that you chayiv for that. And I saw that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld in the Shas Tshuvas Torah Chaim from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Simon Ayin Aleph, has a very interesting approach to Mamneshet Shana Bechet. He's saying that we've been focusing in our shiurim primarily on the concept of geneva. He says there's another factor to consider, and that's the consideration of mazik, which is the primary subject of our masechta. When we speak about mazik, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zatzal, it's a whole different consideration. You don't have to be the owner of something to be responsible for being a mazik. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim, when Rava says, what Rava means to say is that somebody who's shana b'chait falls into the category of a mazik. And once he falls into the category of a mazik, so that's why he's chayiv to pay, as we've been discussing all along. There's a very interesting discussion in the Meches Chinuch. If somebody did a transaction which is only valid kinyan midrabbanan, what would be the halacha? Does the Torah recognize that kinyan? For example, if somebody, we're speaking here, the ganef sold something. If the kinyan that was only done, the ganef should become the owner of this object, should be a kinyan derabbanan. And we just learned that according to Rav Sheshes, we just learned that the ganef skayv dalva hei b'mechira, what would be the halach if the mechira was only done with a kinyan derabbanan? And he says it's machlokes rishonim. He says the Torah discusses what would be the halach if somebody was Mekadosh and Isha, which we learned Masechta Kedushin extensively, with a Kedush, with a Kenyan that's only valid Midrabonim. Is that going to, will that woman be Mekadoshes Midaraisa, or will that woman be Mekadoshes Midrabonim? The opinion is that, of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, says the Beis Yosef, is that she's only Mekadoshes Midrabonim. How could you have a Kenyan the Rabbanon make a Kedusha deraisa, whereas the opinion of the Beis Yosef is that even if it's a Kenyan the Rabbanon, the Kedushin would be a Kedusha deraisa. And the Ktsois explains the opinion of the Beis Yosef. He says, because what is the basis had Rabbanon can institute new Kinyonim? He says, the basis why Rabbanon can institute new Kinyonim is because Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And he says that the concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker is a derisive concept. So therefore, suggests the choice that the Beis Yosef is saying that even though the Kinyan is only a Kinyan de Rabbanon, but since the right for the Rabbanon to institute Kinyonim is based on a halachic concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, even if there was only a Kinyan Derabbanan, it would be considered as a transaction which is fact midaraisa. Says the Gemara Toshma, we quoted a braisa early in our shiur that the Torah speaks about the tavcha u'machroi. We learn from here mat tficha. Whenever we speak about tficha, it's obviously shena chazaris. It's not reversible. Af Mechira is referring to situation Shena Chazeres. So says the Gemara Amos, exactly when did this place? Ilem Lifnei Yeish Amayin Chazeres. The Mechira was meaningless. So of course that's not called Ena Chazeres. Elo, it must be speaking about that it took place Lachi Yeish. Shmamino, isn't this a raya that the Chiyuva of Mechira is only Lachi Yeish, which Rav Nachman said that it's even Lifnei Yish, says the Gemara, and this is where the Gemara said this earlier in the shir, Tigrach Machman, Prat L'Shikla Shloshim Yoim. The Ganef sold it only for 30 days. And therefore, what the Bryce is saying is that since it's not sold for permanent, that's why you're not Chayv Dal V'Hei. It has nothing to do with Yush or not. Vavra Belazar, says the Gemara, says that the Chiyah for Mechira, he agrees with Rav Sheshes, is only L'Achi Yushu. Damra Belazar, Teda. The Halacha is, Shestam Geneva, that any time there was a Geneva, that the owners were not aware that this object was stolen, Yish Balam. Any situation, if we don't know if there was Yish or not, we have to assume that the owners were Miyash. Shrei Amra Taira, and what's his Raya? Because the Taira keeps on speaking about V'tavach HaMachor, Shemesham Tashlum Erbar V'chamisha. But why would he pay Dal V'chamisha? Why should we not be concerned? V'dilma, maybe Loyash. Maybe the original owners were not Miyash. And if the original owners were not Miyash, so then the Mechira wasn't a good Mechira. V'dilma Loyash, Elalav, Mishun Daminen, Stam Genevi Yish Balam. But we see from here that you have to have Yush for the Mechira to be considered a valid Mechira. Ask the Gemara, V'dimavakav the Loyash. Maybe there was no Yush, and the Torah is still telling the Ganef, you're going to have to pay Dalet V'Hei, even though your transaction was not a halachically valid transaction. Amri Loisakadatach. It doesn't make sense to say so, says the Gemara, because as we compare Mechira to Tficha, Dumya Tficha Ma Tficha Hanamasov, if you slaughtered the animal, obviously what you did accomplished something. Af Mechira has to be the Hanamasov, that what you did was meaningful. Vilif Neyush, but if the Mechira was done with Neyush, Ma Hani, what have you accomplished? Ask the Gemara, maybe when the Torah speaks about Dal V'Hei, it's speaking about specifically the Shemina D'Yash. And that's why you're Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amri Lo Sakadit Da'atach. It doesn't make sense to push that in the Gemara. Because Dumi the Tficha, Ma Tficha La'alta. The Tficha takes place immediately. Because, as we keep on repeating, by Tficha, there's no room for discussion. By Tficha, since that's certainly a Shinu Maisa, it's certainly a significant act. So therefore the halacha is that is Chayiv, and therefore we don't need Yush. So the Mechira must be La'alter. So it must be that there was no Yush. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says that you're saying that by every Geneva we have to assume there was a Yush, and since we have to assume there was a Yush, that's why the Mechira after the Geneva is going to be a valid Mechira. I'll prove to you not that way. Because one of the places that the Torah speaks about Geneva, obviously, is if somebody kidnaps somebody. Geneva benefesh techiach. Where the Torah Kedoshah says, ki yim matzei ish goyim nefesh mi'ach v'bnei Yisrael v'sama ba machro v'meis aganafahu. Now certainly, there's no Yush. Nobody gives up on himself. And yet, we see that the Torah says that if somebody kidnaps somebody and then Rahman Slan sold that kidnapped person, he's Chayiv. But why would he be Chayiv? It was saying there was no Yush. And if there's no Yush, then the sale is not a valid sale. So from here, we see that Yush is not required for the Mechira, for the punishment of Mechira to be in place. So ask Tosfos the obvious question. What has been forcing us to say that the Mechira has to be a valid Mechira? Because the Gemara keeps on repeating that the Torah connects Tficha Mechira. But ask Tosfos, that's when you stole an animal. The Pesukim, the Pesuk has been discussing and teaching us that Tficha and Mechira travel together. But that has nothing to do, the Torah obviously doesn't speak about Tficha when you kidnap somebody. So why are we comparing the two cases. Says Tosfos, the reason we compare Tficha to Mechira is not because it has to be the same, because they're traveling together. And since they're traveling together, that's why we said the halachas have to be the same. But Mechira is Mechira. But I saw the Rashba, I think, says something a little sharper. What the Rashba means to say is that, yes, on one hand, the Pasuk compares Tvicha to Mechira. But on the other hand, says Rashba, what is something that makes more sense to compare? Mechira to Mechira or Mechira to Tvicha? Of course, it makes more sense to compare Mechira to Mechira than to compare Mechira to Tvicha. If that's the approach we're going to take, says the Rashba, which is the sensible approach, so if we see, as we just proved, that when the Torah HaKadosh speaks about kidnapping and selling the kidnapped individual, there it's obviously a Mechira without Yiyush. So when the Torah speaks about Mechira of the Shor V'Seh, it also obviously is speaking about a Mechira where there was no Yiyush. Mechlal, the Sofer of Yochanan. So obviously, according to what we just learned, it's obviously the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, the Lifna Yiyush, that if the Ganef sold what he stole, the animal, before Yiyush Chayish, but now ask the Gemara, Lach Yiyush Mai, what would be the halacha if there was Yiyush? And the question that the Gemara is really asking is, how does Rabbi Yochanan look at Yiyush? Does Rabbi Yochanan say that the subject that Rav has been discussing in our shiurim, that once there's Yiyush, it becomes the property, of the Ganef, and since it becomes the property of the Ganef, Shaloyu Tavech, Shaloyu Meicher, and therefore there's no Chiyuv, or not. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv, says the Gemara, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Amar, that it's Chayiv, even if there was Yiyush, for that Mechira, Shlok Hashem HaPotor. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv, says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Chiyuvei, the Chiyuv for the Ganef selling the Shor HaSeh, is Bein Lifna Yish, Bein Lach Yish. Yishlok Hashem HaPotor, Chiyuvei Lifna Yishu, Avol Ach Yish, if there was already Yish, Koina becomes the property of the Ganef, and therefore, Shaloy Tavech, Shaloy Meicher, and he wouldn't be Chayiv Dalvehei. Says the Gemara, Eser Rabbi Yochanan Reishlokish. The Braisa says, Ganef, if somebody stole a Shor HaSeh, the Higdish, and he was Magdashit, Vakach Tavach, and afterward he was sold it or slaughtered it, B'sham Tashlum Echefel, Ven B'sham Tashlum Abav Chamisha. So teaches us the Braisa. So comments Rabbi Yochanan, Amos, when was he Magdash the animal? Ilema Lifna Yish, there was Magdash the animal before the owners were Miyash. The question is, Mi Kodesh, would that be a valid act of being Magdash the animal? The Torah HaKadosh says, when it talks about being Magdish something, says the Torah, Vish Kiagdish is Beisei Kodesh Lashem Amrachmana. Ma Beisei Shaloi. You could only be Magdish your home, which belongs to you. Afkos Shaloi. It has to be yours. And if it's not yours, how could you be Magdish it? Elapshita. It must be that Tzla'achi Yush. And since there was Yush, so you have Yush and Shini Rishus by being Magdashit, that's why it belongs to Hegdish. Tam the Hegdish, and since you were Magdashit, that's why Enim Sham Tashlum Abav Chamisha. The Kikot Tevach, because since, as we just finished explaining, the act of Hegdish was a valid act of Hegdish, and therefore, when you're slaughtering it, Hegdish Kotavach, Avaloi Hegdish, if you were Magdashit, Tavach, you would pay dal of the chay above a chamisha. V'sakadatach yish koina amay mishalim. We just have your svara of shaloy taveach shaloy meicher. So here we see. So says Rabbi Yochanan to Shlokish that yish doesn't make it your property. Amalei says the Gemara. Shlokish says to Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to explain that there was no yish. But what happened here? Hakam Maiskin was the case of the Braisa. That not that the Ganef was Magdashit, Kigon Shigdishu Balim, that the owners were magdashit. And right away, the Rishonim and Achronim point out, how could they be magdashit? We'll speak about this in the Gemara, but it's a kedushas domim. Kigon shekedushu ba'alim, when it's in the property, when it's in the possession of the ganav, ask the Gemara mikodesh, but is that going to be a valid act of hegdish? Rama Rabbi Yochanan Gozel v'lenishyash ba'alim, if somebody stole something and the owners were not miyash, the halach is shneim eni choyim l'hagdish, neither of them can be magdish this object. Zeh, the gazlan can be magdish l'fi shen shloi, it's not his. Zeh l'fi shen reshusoi. Answers the Gemara, Amri Rish Lakish, who's explaining the Brisa, that the owners were able to be magdashit, even though it's not under their control. Domeket Tznuin is hold like the Tznuin that we're going to be discussing extensively. The Tanan had Tznuin, the Gemara Mishnah Masechta Maaseh Sheni discusses Kerem Rvai, that fruit in the fourth year, the halacha of fruit in the fourth year, you have to take up to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or they have to be redeemed. So we had owners who were tsnuim, and they didn't want people to do an avera. What they would do is, they would leave money, people were taking their fruit without permission, not knowing that that fruit was really Kerem Revai. They would leave money, nilkat mizeh, and like that, the fruit was redeemed on the money, and the people who were eating that fruit were not eating Kerem Revai. Now, the question here is, how could they do so? The fruit was no longer under their control. It was in the control of the people who took it. And yet we see, says Rish Lakish, you could do it when it's not in your control. So too, says the Gemara, that Rish Lakish says, as I said before, the Tzois quotes the Rivash, that when we speak about Kedusha Stomim, you could do Kedusha Stomim even when it's not in your under your control. And Rabbi Chanan explains, why is that the halacha? Because Kedushas Domim doesn't, Kedushas Aguf means that you're making the object into Hegdish. So since you're making the object that you have, changing it, transferring it from being yours to being Hegdish, that you can't do unless it's by you. Kedushas Domim, says Rabbi Chanan explaining the Rivash, says an interesting word. All it does is that it means that you owe something to Hegdish. Since all it means is that you owe something to Hegdish, you could create that type of a debt, even if it's not under your control. Says the Gemara, if Rish Lakish is speaking about a case that the owners were magdashit when it was already in the property of the ganef, so then the question is, if that's the case, so that's Chazer Ker Labalim. It's as if it now became back by the owners. If the owners were able to be magdashit, so it's as if it came back to the owner, and the owner was magdashit. And if it became the owner's, so then why would the ganef have to pay kefil? A ganef only has to pay kefil if the stolen object was found by him, and now he has to pay kefil. It wasn't found by him. It's already backed by the owner. Says the Gemara, Shamed Bedin, that there was already the entire before the owners were magdashit. So the Gemara drills down. Hey Chidami, Ida Amri, if Bezdin told the ganef, say Tein Loi, give him back what you stole and the kefil, my area hegdish. Then why do we have to hegdish? I feel Loi hegdish nami Loi l'chayve. We shouldn't have to make him pay. Domarovit, say Tein Loi, if the Bezdin told the ganef, give it back and give back what you stole with the kefil. Tavach macha potter, my tama, kivin to paskula melsayu. Once Bezdin said, say ten loy, so then the geneva ended. And the din of tfich mechira on something which is stolen is no longer relevant. Tavach macha, and now if you tavach macha, he's a gazlan. Because a gazlan is when you know who the ganef is. A ganef is when you don't. Here, where obviously this person was caught and identified, he's a gazlan. And a gazlan never pays tashlum above a chamisha. If Bezdin told him, chayv atav tein loy, so tavach a machar, misham tashlumei abava chamisha, my tama. Why? Kivin the taskul milsa. Didn't they tell him explicitly? Say teiloi. Kivin the loy taskul milsa. Akati ganafu. He's still considered a ganaf, and he should have to pay abava chamisha. Says Gemara letzricha. We have to say that's talking about a case that machayev atalit loy, and therefore it ends the case. And if it ends the case, that's why you don't have to pay for the tficha mechira.